Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts from around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 97 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 16% humidity. All right, I'm pretty confident in saying the events in Charlottesville seen last weekend were managed and scripted, just like Sandy Hook. We will start the show by looking at Heather Heyer's parents' lack of emotional response to their daughter's death. Heather Heyer is the alleged casualty of the Unite the Right protest and communist counter-protest last Saturday. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Calling all the clans together. Calling all the clans together. Calling all the clans together. Brothers come a running. Calling south and north together. Calling west and east together. Calling all the clans together. Brother come a running. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't you see the reaper reaping? Brothers come a running. Never mind the shells are flying. Never mind the dead and dying. Can't you hear the piper piping? Brother come a running. Come a running fast. Come a running hard. Running for all you worth. Come a running through the gates of hell itself and let the devil take the hindmost.
We're gonna be
calling all the clan together. Calling all the clan together.
Calling all the clan together.
Brothers come running.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs, handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, August 16th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Okay, so, yeah, I think this is a managed, orchestrated event that we saw in Charlottesville. False flag, whatever the best term for it is, I don't really know. But what's really solidifying this in my mind is taking a look at the deceased woman Heather Heyer's parents' lack of emotional response. So I did a little digging today and pulled up a bunch of different videos that kind of prove the case, and they're all available at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. So the one we're going to start out with is coming from NBC News, published on August 14th, 2017, and is titled, "Mother of Woman Killed at Charlottesville Rally Talks About Her Passion for Justice." Now, somewhere in the description, I read that it was within the first 24 hours, but at least by the time it was posted, it's within 48 hours of the death of this woman's daughter. So we're going to go ahead and play this, and keep in mind, just like Sandy Hook and Aurora, Colorado, and the Pulse shooting, we get a whole bunch of people with the sniffles. Okay, they aren't actually crying. Their faces aren't puffy. They're not choking on the words. They got the sniffles. Okay, this woman's got the sniffles, and on top of that, she's a terrible actress. So let's get it going.
Digital exclusives. Thanks for watching.
Just a second. Get it back to the beginning. There we go.
Heather, her entire life has been passionate about justice for everyone and fairness and fair treatment. And you better be able to explain to her why something was true or not true, why it had to be that way. As a child, that can be maddening. As a parent, that could be difficult and challenging. But nevertheless, I encouraged and allowed her to be strong-willed. Not that I probably could have changed her even if I'd wanted. But it was important to her to speak up for people that she felt were not being heard, to speak up when injustices were happening. And she saw in the lives of many of her African American friends, particularly, and her gay friends, that equal rights were not being given and equal voices were not being shared. And she had long advocated for equality for all. And if she saw something wasn't fair as an adult, those people who know her could look on her Facebook posts, and even many she didn't know, she would challenge them, saying, "Well, explain to me why you believe this. I don't understand what your point is. You need to explain to me. Please tell me why you're here. Please tell me what you're doing." And that's what she was doing that day. Yesterday. When she was killed, she was doing that with people. She was saying, "Well, tell me why you're here." And I know this because this is what her friends told me. And that's what Heather's life was all about. Passion for fairness. Passion for
the sniffles
equality,
are gone already.
Passion for justice.
Okay, so that was from those from that piece of shit NBC News.
NBC News fans, oh,
hold on.
For checking out our
Screw you and your YouTube channel. Okay, so yeah, yes, go ahead.
David.
Yes.
I'm hearing you over the call-in line. You're not coming over the broadcast.
Ah, okay. Well, let's see what's going on here. Okay, looks like I'm broadcasting from there. Let's see what's going on.
I can hear you're streaming with the stuff you're streaming, but not your voice.
Oh, really? You're not able to hear my mic?
That's it.
That's quite interesting. How could that be? Okay. Maybe my input has been changed somehow or something?
I don't. We got you, like the stuff you're streaming of the lady talking, it's coming over the radio,
uh-huh.
but not your voice.
Well, that's unfortunate. I can play some music for a second and try to fix it. Or I can actually just go ahead and play the next clip and try to fix it. So I'm just going to play the next clip and fix it. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
And as I listened and to her friends, and hear stories of my daughter and the way she was, she loved people. She wanted equality.
Check, microphone check. Hold on, I'm going to stop.
The day of her passing.
I'm going to stop this video real quick.
She wanted to put down.
Wait, hold on.
Hate.
Cancel that. Now, hopefully, you guys should be hearing my voice coming through the air. Let me see if I got the levels bouncing here. So we're going to apply. Okay, so it looks like I might have my vocals coming through the air now. All right, well, whatever. The archive should be proper. So anybody that hasn't heard what's going on, we're discussing Heather Heyer's parents' lack of emotional response to their daughter's death. Heather Heyer was the alleged casualty from the Unite the Right protest and communist counter-protest last Saturday. The clip that you may have heard earlier... Hold on, let me get my notes up properly. The clip that you heard earlier was coming from NBC News, published on August 14, 2017, titled Mother of Woman Killed at Charlottesville Rally Talks About Her Passion for Justice. NBC News, yeah, okay. So that's what we just heard, and what we're about to hear right now is Susan Breaux, which is her name, the mother, full explosive interview with Anderson Cooper, August 14th, 2017. This one's a bit longer. Let's get into it. Apologize about the technical difficulties. That won't happen again. All right, here we go.
And was good at letting her clients see it. Virginia's governor praised the fight, he said, she was waging against hatred and bigotry. A close friend and coworker said she was a sweet soul and said she'll never be forgotten. Heather was just 32 years old. She was killed when a rally participant drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters. You saw the video right there. I spoke with her mother, Susan Breaux, earlier tonight.
Susan, I'm so sorry for your loss. If you could just tell us a little bit about your daughter.
Her face isn't puffy one bit.
A woman, was she?
She doesn't look disturbed.
Heather was a very passionate woman. She was very fair-minded. She was driven to make people clarify their situation, to make people accountable for their behavior, to make people look at themselves and stop what she believed to be unfair.
Injustice was something that she fought a lot about, worried a lot about.
I don't think she worried a lot about it. She had a real radar for that, something that would often pass other people by because this is the way we've always done it. She would call you out on it. She didn't tolerate that. I have been so humbled and I don't know the word, amazed at the stories I'm getting from people about people that Heather defended and took care of and protected throughout her childhood that I never even knew happened. People are coming forward to me of stories of she spoke for my child, she protected me on the school bus, she took care of me when others were giving me a hard time, and I was unaware of that. She didn't come home and tell me about that.
Don't forget, folks, this is within 48 hours of her alleged daughter's death.
And
she's not crying. She's not disturbed. She's not choking out any words. She's just spouting some bullshit.
I didn't ask, but I figured she probably would. But honestly, I had kind of put it out of my mind.
When did you get word about what happened to her?
Sniffles. She's got the sniffles. No tears, but she's got the sniffles.
I was...
Sniffle.
Actually here where we're filming right now with my best friend. And I got the word that they were looking for Heather's next of kin at the hospital. And I kept calling the hospital as my friend was driving me to the hospital. And they kept saying, we don't have a patient by that name. and we were frantically trying to find her. And her friends had actually asked the hospital people to find her. And probably the worst day of my life.
Probably?
When the president spoke today and used the words KKK.
Probably the worst day of her life? Did she have a worse day than losing her daughter?
Yes, it was. I think we need to call out hate where we see hate. Oh. I think we need to call out criminal activity where we see criminal activity.
The little Vanderbilt faggot was asking her about if she was approving of Trump's statements, which she is.
Situation, have you given any thought to the person who did this to your daughter or what you want?
I love him. I love him.
What you want to see happen?
I have two feelings about this young man. One is he was extremely young, in my opinion. He's not a child. He's an adult. He made his decisions. And I believe that he thought hate was going to be the answer and that hate is going to fix things.
Love's the answer.
But he was wrong, and he will someday come to see that, I hope. And I'm sorry for the pain he will go through when he sees that. I'm sorry for the pain that he's putting his mother through right now. I'm also extremely sorry that he chose to kill my child and to injure a bunch of other people. He didn't have the right to do that. And if you watch the tapes, you can tell he had that exactly in mind. This wasn't a video game, buddy. This was real people. Okay? There are real consequences to what you did, and I'm sorry you chose to do that. You have ruined your life, and you've disturbed mine, but you took my child from me, and
you just
I'm going
disturbed
to be
it a
voice
little bit.
That she can no longer be.
Just a little bit.
And so you gave us a national forum, and maybe I should thank you for that, but I can't. I would rather have my child.
Sniffle, sniffle.
You talked about the outpouring of memories from friends of Heather. I'm wondering how you would like her to be remembered or how she would want to be remembered, do you think?
She would want that spark of self-examination, of the honest discourse, of being able to explain yourself, to make yourself accountable, to continue on. If anything is ever to come of this Say Her Name, I want it to be that Say Her Name means you hold yourself accountable. You check your actions before you do something. You explain yourself to God, to yourself, to another person, whatever you have to do, but you hold yourself accountable before you go after somebody. And there's no excuse for hatred. There's no excuse for bigotry. There's no excuse for discrimination.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for your strength, and I wish you peace in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Bullshit.
Heather Heyer's mom. Some new details now on the chopper crash.
Shut up, faggot. Okay, so that was Anderson Pooper Scooper, and hold on, pull my notes back up. What was it? Susan Bro, the supposed alleged mother. The one with the sniffles who was just disturbed slightly about her daughter dying. So we got one more interview from her. I wish I could have found this interview in its entirety. I scoured and I looked and I looked and I looked and I couldn't find it. I sent an email asking for it to be put up on the trenches, and luckily they got it up there. For all I know, it's not going to be there for very long because these people just do a terrible job with their acting skills. So this is a short clip right here. This is Susan Bro, August 16th. Wait, hold on. Let's see what it's called. It's, they tried to kill my child to shut her up. Well, guess what? You just magnified her, says Susan Bro, Heather Heyer's mother. Now, this is via CBS on Twitter, August 16th. So this one was posted today. And I'm pretty sure the rally was either today or yesterday. So, again, this is just a few days after the death of this woman's daughter. And let's get it going.
Here's the message. Although Heather was a caring and compassionate person, so are a lot of you. A lot of you go that extra mile. And I think the reason that what happened to Heather has struck a chord is because We know that what she did is achievable. We don't all have to die. We don't all have to sacrifice our lives. They tried to kill my child to shut her up. Well, guess what? You just magnified her.
You just magnified her. It sounds like they're trying to rile people up, doesn't it? Does it sound like a grieving mother to you? Or does it sound like they're trying to rally up the communists and the mush-minded people on the streets? Okay, that might be... Oh, no, there's a little more. And they're done with their standing ovation.
So here's what I want to happen. You ask me, what can I do? So many caring people. Pages of pages of pages of stuff I'm going through. I'm reading pages of pages of pages how she's touching the world. I want this to spread. I don't want this to die. This is just the beginning of Heather's legacy. This is not the end of Heather's legacy. You need to find in your heart that small spark of accountability. What is there that I can do to make the world a better place? What injustice do I see?
Okay, so that was the end of that little clip. And I think it's funny that they cut it off before she even finishes. In fact, they just let out these little one-minute clips from this rally that they had in support of Susan Breaux and her family. There's one from the husband, but it's not quite as interesting. So, you know what? I think I'm just going to skip it. But a friend named... Hold on, let me get my notes back up here. Where is it? Felicia Correa. C-O-R-R-E-A. I guess that's how you pronounce it. A friend of Heather Heyer. Okay, so the source is coming from AP on August 13th. So this would be within 24 hours of the death of her friend. And in this video, you can see the woman smiling a little bit. And they also cut her off, too, right after she compares Heather's death to 9/11. Okay? And that's when she really starts grinning. So anyway, this is another person that's really not that sorry that their friend died, and also kind of pumping up the communist side.
She was a sweet person, and I just want to do my best to make sure that, you know, her family doesn't have to worry about, you know, cost of anything.
Oh, don't worry.
And, you know, I thank her because she wasn't only standing up for me; she was standing up for my, you know. My son's in there, and, you know, all people of color, whether it's, you know, blacks or Hispanics, she was no different from a soldier fighting in a war. She was a casualty of war, and it was, you know, I don't see a difference in her and, you know, someone who, you know, died in Iraq or somebody who died on 9/11.
You catch that? Tell me she's not inciting more violence. Casualty of war, a soldier.
It was still a terrorist attack. And I would just, you know, thank her for, she put her life on line. Everyone who was there yesterday put their life on line. So not only would I thank her, but I, you know, thank everybody who went out there and the counter protest. And there were people of all races out there. And that, it made me proud, but it's her face and her name that everybody, you know, will remember.
Okay, so that was the friend Felicia Correa. Again, within 24 hours, she's not crying, her face is not puffy. She seems, she's happy, she's ready to fight the war. You know, she's playing her part perfectly. Okay, so this next clip I pulled off of NPR, it's not related to Heather Heyer. It's titled, 5 Years In, What's Next for DACA? August 15, 2017. Should be posted on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com if you'd like to read it. We have just enough time to play it, so here we go.
Demonstrators gathered outside the White House today in support of people who came to the U.S. illegally as children. They've been protected from deportation thanks to an executive order known as DACA. That's for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It was signed by President Obama 5 years ago today.
And you're telling me Trump can't undo it with some sort of other executive order, or the fact that it's probably definitely most likely unconstitutional, it can't be litigated in the courts and gotten rid of? What's the problem here? Come on, this is all bullshit.
The Trump administration has said that it wouldn't do away with the program for now, but many DACA recipients worry that their status is still in danger. NPR's Claudio Sanchez has more.
I'm standing in the middle of Lafayette Square Park. We're in front of the White House, where there are now 200 to 300 immigrants and immigrants' rights advocates who've convened here to send a message. Do not repeal DACA.
I would lose my whole life. I wouldn't be able to get a higher education, go to school, pay for my car. My whole life would end.
That was Claudia Quiñones from Bolivia.
Quite frankly, I'm very scared, but I'm not going to stop fighting.
Also at the protest, Fatima Romero from El Salvador.
It affects me every day. It's hard for me to function at work because I'm constantly thinking, what if?
Fatima's parents entered the U.S. illegally when she was 13.
We're not criminals. We do no harm. We love this nation. Clearly, before we get this permit, we have to go through a background check. And in order for us to get this DACA, we have to be clean. We're the cleanest citizen American has.
Bullshit. Nearly 800,000 people have registered under DACA since President Obama signed the executive order giving them protected status, permission to work, go to school, and get a driver's license.
The point of DACA was to use them as an advertising gimmick.
Mark Krikorian is with the Center for Immigration Studies, which lobbies for tighter controls on immigration.
Here's these sympathetic young people, been here since they were 3 months old, don't speak enough Spanish to order at Taco Bell, valedictorians, I've signed up for the Marine Corps already, therefore all 12 million illegal immigrants need amnesty. It was a marketing tactic.
It's the constitutionality of DACA, however, that at least 10 state attorneys general have challenged. They've argued that President Obama did not have the authority to grant amnesty to undocumented immigrants, no matter their age or when and how they entered the U.S.
Duh, and why can't Trump get rid of it?
But that fight has been tied up in the courts.
The Trump administration hasn't said for sure what they're going to do, but the only way they could keep DACA would be for the Justice Department to affirmatively defend the legality of the program. I don't see how that's even possible.
Absent the Trump administration's support, about 800,000 people covered by DACA would probably lose their protected status. So for now, it's the uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen next, that has many young people registered under DACA on edge.
It's scary.
Maria Diaz was a year old when her parents left Puebla, Mexico, and arrived in Olathe, Kansas, hoping for a better future. That was 20 years ago.
I have DACA, but it's scary for me to leave home and know that at any moment something could happen to my parents, and I'm not there to help them, and I'm not there to answer the door if immigration comes. I'm not there if they get pulled over and the police ask for their documentation. I'm scared.
Sí, tengo miedo, porque se ven muchas cosas. Trato de no ver las noticias.
Guillermina Diaz, Maria's mom, says she's afraid too. But she's constantly telling her daughter, don't worry about us. You go on dreaming. Don't give up on your dreams. Maria, a business major at the University of Kansas, has a job lined up with Bank of America this fall, her dream job. But it won't mean much, she says, if her family is torn apart. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
Good, then maybe we can just get rid of a whole lot of them. Then they'll be together, just not here. Okay, we got to take our bottom of the hour break, folks. Stay with us.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
What I hate is a statesman speaking out of both sides of his mouth. What I hate is a war still going on down in the South. And what I live for is a chance to change a little bit of it all. What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and I always will. What I hate is someone mad enough to kill. What I love is someone with a heart that's really good. Now we can't change the whole wide world. Maybe we can change our neighborhood.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:38 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Merle Haggard with What I Hate. Coming out of the break. Now, I've been hearing a few little dings here and there. Do we have any callers that want to come up? I'm just going to thumb through a few little things here and give you a second. Okay. So, with the whole Kessler thing, I have an update. JasonKessler.net, the site that I was using on Monday to look into this gentleman, his site is now down. So, 1984 memory hole in full effect, folks. Now, we got a video on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com titled Charlottesville False Flag Theory, Something Strange is Going On. It was posted on August 15th, 2017 by Misty. And what is shown in this video is that two different cars were used to stage this event. The one at the scene of the crime did not have any racing stripes, and the vehicle at the scene of the arrest did. So that's according to this video. I don't really know. Something to look into. Now, I got this one article from Jim today. It should be on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. I told him to send it in. If it's not there when I'm done with the broadcast, I'll make sure to send it in myself. But it's called, do we got a caller? Okay, you can interrupt me at any time. We just ripped the mask off Jason Kessler. The internet is forever. So Jason Kessler, the man who organized the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, who caused one person to be dead and 20 injured when a car smashed into protesters. There were some curious facts surrounding this event, so we decided to do some digging. What we found raises some serious questions about who Jason Kessler is actually working for. First of all, the ACLU defended Jason Kessler and forced the city to keep his permit in place. This was after the city raised concerns about the ability of law enforcement to keep back Antifa Black Lives Matter and the new Black Panthers from clashing with the white supremacists who were attending with Jason Kessler. That would be David Duke and the other gentleman I'm not familiar with. Can't recall his name offhand. Here are a few things you need to know about Jason Kessler. So they pulled, I'll make sure to get this posted if it's not up, but they pulled a bunch of this guy's tweets and they put them up there. So they say that he supports gun control, and they got a bunch of tweets to back that up. They say he loves Obama and Clinton. They got the tweets to back that up. Third, he loved the Iran deal struck by Obama. Fourth, he hates Republicans and compared them to Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R. I'm not familiar with that word offhand. Finally, he claims he was red-pilled into becoming a Trump supporter. He claims he was red-pilled by the media instigating the Baltimore riots. However, an advanced search of his tweets only reveals one tweet raising questions on the assigned blame for the Baltimore riots. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't do this investigating myself, but it's something interesting to look at. Now, they're claiming that CNN has articles posted by a gentleman named Jason Kessler. Wall Street, the title of the article is Wall Street Protests Grow After Union's Endorsement. So that's another thing, potentially. Plus, his Patreon, according to this website, which is nationnews.com, his Patreon account only has 3 subscribers. So, yeah, his JasonKessler.net was taken down. So the website that I used on Monday is now gone, 1984 in full effect.
David, Katie.
How's it going, Katie?
Good, good. I just wanted to let you know that that article is up at the trenches.
Excellent. So, yeah. Go ahead.
That's it. I just wanted to let you know. Yeah, I saw it up there.
Okay, so I got some other articles I can read, but one thing I've brought up to Henry, I believe, in October or November of last year, was the idea of creating a campaign to smash the Guidestones. And I know some people don't like it when I bring this up. It is what it is. I'm just talking here. I'm not saying actually do it. I'm just having a conversation. Now, some of the point that I'm making or trying to make is that the campaign itself, whether we actually get a chance to knock these things down or not, but just the campaign can be more successful than actually knocking down the stones. We can get more eyes on those stones and the ideologies that are behind them and the elite in general. So what's written on those stones is not defensible. There's no way to spin population reduction down to 500 million as a good thing. So I did some math. I'm not a mathematician, but I welcome anybody to check out my results and see if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right here. Using the 7.5 billion figure for global population, that means 15,000 people would need to die for each person kept alive. If we go from 7.5 billion to 500 million, that would mean 15,000 people die for every single individual left alive. So I was curious what percentage of the population that would be and did some math. And excuse me for this being such a long number, but if it wasn't an interesting number, I would have just rounded it up. So when I do the percentage calculation of 500 million from 7.5 or 1 in 15,000, what I get is 0.00666666666666667. Okay, that's 13 sixes in that even number that it amounts to. 0.006 repeating 13 times 7. Anyway, so yeah, you have a 0.007 chance of being one of the fortunate ones. 007. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And please, if I'm wrong, feel free. Check me on my math. Okay, so to start the campaign, we'd have to promote it daily. And promote it in such a way that it drags in all the shills, like Alex Jones, and makes them look bad if they do not get on board. Whatever kind of group or whatever kind of movement we create is going to get heavily infiltrated. So the whole point is to keep it as disorganized as possible and as simple as possible. Maybe organized in a presentation way, but not organized like a group of people that are going to do it on a specific day. That may come in time. In fact, I have an idea about which day to do it on. So we need to... Okay, yeah, because the whole point is getting as many people on board as possible. So even if the shills and the people that listen to the shills are on board, I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing, because the whole point is illuminating and waking people up and getting their attention to this. Okay, so considering the stones are written in 8 different languages and represent population reduction on a global scale, the campaign should be international in scope. We need as many eyes on the campaign as possible and to create the biggest buzz. So here's what I was thinking about a date. And this is a sliding scale. Push it back 2 years, push it back 3 years, push it back till next year, however long it takes to grow the campaign big enough. Okay, so why not do it on April 19th? Why not preserve that day in history as Patriots Day? And maybe we can use the spirit of that day to embolden us. So that's these are all just thoughts, okay? Now, the reason I say we should push the timeline back is we want mainstream media attention. We want attention from the government themselves. You know, we want to drag all of them in kicking and screaming, okay? Do we want to wake the whole world up to this plan of population reduction, which is really not a hard sell when you tell people that, you know, pre-industrial revolution, there was an advantage to having a large population to grow the food, to mine the mountains, and fight the wars. But in this day and age, that large population is now a liability, because you got to spend, if you're going to manage them, you have to spend much time and material managing that population. So what was once an asset, a large population, has now become a liability. It's made a 100% flip. So there's a good reason why these Georgia Guidestones are in there, in place, because the people who manage us simply do not need us anymore. We are a surplus to them. So,
David, I like your idea of the Georgia Guidestone campaign. And something else I'd like to say is Mary pointed out, which I was unaware of, a 16-foot statue in Seattle of Lenin.
I am.
Anyway, that'd be another one.
That'd be
another one we can go after.
I completely agree. Put it right on the list. If there's anything else like that, if there's a ball statue or a ball temple and it's very clear what it is and everybody can clearly understand it, yeah, put it on the list. You know, if they're going to do it to us, we can do it to them. You know, who are they to say that we can't organize and make the same kind of plans that they're doing? And we could even – this doesn't necessarily have to be by force either. We could do this in a political way. We could do this in a legal way. It may get blocked every step of the way. I don't suggest putting a lot of money into it by any means. But if there's the type of people out there that want to work on this in a legal way or work on this in a petition basis, we should employ all of those different methods. That way to show that, yes, we tried. You know, I'm going to assume that we would get blocked every step of the way trying to push pencils, but it would be an excellent idea to start by pushing pencils. And when it's shown to not work, we can show that to everybody. We can show it to the world. Pushing pencils didn't work. They blocked us. But if the day came where we actually were to knock them down and we were to do it outside of the law, if it came to that, and I'm not saying that's a good idea. Like I said, we can keep pushing the date back and just campaign and get it bigger and bigger. One of the notes that I didn't read earlier on top here is that this can be comparable to BDS. You know, I only heard about BDS last year, and it's been going since, I believe, 2005. So it took a while for the average person to hear about it. But to the effect that or it's generated enough force behind it that we're getting major musicians coming out that are pro-BDS, and then we're getting a lot of pro-BDS buzz, but at the same time, we're getting the government having to make these anti-BDS laws. So the BDS program is working. Advocate in a legal way, advocate in a nonviolent way, and start off like that. But get it to the point where we're going to take these things down hell or high water. And like I said, we can keep pushing it back, but as long as we keep talking about it, we can get people aware of it.
I like that. And where I'm starting is just, you know, like on Twitter or YouTube, and, you know, just pointing out the Georgia Guidestones and, you know, that Lenin statue there in Seattle, and, you know, getting people to actually look. I mean, you want to destroy a monument. God, go after that crap, you know. Come on, people.
Yeah, unless you think you're one of the lucky 0.007% that gets spared, right?
There you go. Yeah, that would be good to leave in there, too. Yeah, to post that, too. That's good. That's good.
Who knows how many people are actually on this planet? I don't even trust their damn numbers, to be honest with you. One equation that I did a while ago and I thought was quite interesting, somebody had presented it to me, so I went and double-checked it myself, was that, and this is using the old 6 billion number, if you took the acreage of Australia and divided it by 6 billion, you get 0.34. So basically, a family of three, you know, a man, woman, child, would get a single-acre lot if everybody in the human family moved to Australia. So is the world truly overpopulated, or is it just mismanaged? When you drive across the U.S., there's some states where there's nothing in it. I mean, Arizona, outside of what's off of I-10, I-17, and I-40, there's nothing here. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never heard of the Australia one, but I've heard of the Texas one. Yeah, you could fit the world's population in Texas.
What was the
and I don't know how much land they'd have, but...
But, yeah, so anyway, a family of three could definitely feed themselves on a one-acre lot. You could probably even put animals to pasture and have milk and maybe a little bit of meat, you know? So The world's not overpopulated, and that's something they convinced almost everybody on this planet, is that the world is overpopulated. Through the media, through Hollywood, they convinced us of that, and it's simply not true. Okay, so, yeah, if we were to do this by force and not in an illegal way, here's how I picture it happening. We're going to have to bum-rush them with vehicles, bring bulldozers, use them not only to knock down the stones, but as hard cover, and employ our rifles. Now, here's the idea. It's not so much to get into a fight, okay? It's to have either two different things happen. Either the establishment slaughters us with all their toys and manpower on video for the world to see. Now, mind you, they did nothing to stop the Confederate monuments from being taken down. Or they stand down and let us knock down a symbol of global tyranny. Either way, it's a win-win. Now, I'm just going to put it out there again. This is just speculation. Y'all are free to come up and tell me I'm wrong. This is just something I think, if implemented correctly, it could work. If we could get enough freedom-loving patriots on board, this could work. And the first part of it working is just bringing it into the lexicon, bringing it into the discussion by just being a never-ending campaigner for having these things knocked down. You're going to knock down our monuments. We're going to knock down your monuments.
Okay, I got an idea. Let's put a petition up on something like, I don't know, Go Citizen or whatever that's called, or some site. Why not?
Well, yeah, we could. I mean, if we were to put this together, I think it would make sense to do it. And I don't know what better way to term it, but like a business plan or a campaign where you draft it all out and you put all your ideas down and you put out on your timeline and your list of contacts and all that. And as it grows and progresses, you're going to bring new elements in. When there's somebody with legal expertise or somebody that's organizing or somebody that can I think this is something I might have covered earlier, make YouTube videos. You know, if we can have a bunch of excellent YouTube videos be put out and spread all over the place, that's how you're going to get people's attention. They have very short attention spans, the average person, and if you start getting too technical, they're not going to get it. You need something that pulls at their heartstrings and pulls at their emotions. So to even get something like this going, yeah, we would need support of the YouTube community. We would need support of our fellow broadcasters, and we would need to make this simple and bring it up often. And that's one of the things that I feel Ron Paul didn't necessarily do a good job about, and I don't even really trust him, to be honest with you. But I feel that, put me in Ron Paul's shoes, I'm going to make a 5-point plan that's really simple for everybody to remember, and even the dumbest of the dumbest of the dumb would be able to recite it. That plan can be very much fleshed out for the intelligentsia, the people that want to know, you know, the more intelligent people among us, but keep it really simple and then just start repeating it ad nauseum over and over and over. This is what I'm going to do. If I win, this is what I'm going to do. Okay? And these are things that I've thought about. I've actually called into previous radio shows with my own version of a five-point plan. And, you know, it's that particular five-point plan that I have, which I might discuss on my show one of these days, is just how to stop a collapse from happening and how to stop the current momentum from happening without disturbing everything so much that we get a collapse. And I think it would be possible if we had people on board, but the only way to get any power in this country is to be the media. You know, we need to take the media back. We need to be more entertaining than the media. We need to be more honest than the media, and we need to get into as many ears as possible so we can start the, what do they call it, fires in the minds of men. Isn't that one of their little books, one of their Freemasonic books? So, and this is something that I'm going to mention. There is a group of Freemasons on YouTube. And they have live broadcasts, like a little round table where they all get together and do a discussion. And I just started following them last week, and I went in right at the end of one of their shows, and I busted their chops about the whole Temple of Solomon thing. And I see their very next live stream yesterday, and I go in there, and they've shut their chat room off. If you want to contact them now, they expect you to email them or through Facebook and Twitter to be able to get a comment to them. And when I viewed their video last week, when I came in, they had like 6 thumbs ups and 18 thumbs down. So these stupid Freemasons, and these ones are just little pussy young 20, 30-year-old Freemasons, they're not able to go out in the public without getting booed. You know, without the majority, and I'm saying, you know, not able to go on YouTube without getting thumbs down. Not that it's necessarily the public, but it's kind of the soapbox of today. So, yeah, people are waking up. People are getting a clue. People are keying in on this stuff. And I think that's why we're seeing so much censorship on the Internet and so much censorship on YouTube. In fact, one of the videos I posted earlier today, it was either today or last night, showed the CNN video that I played earlier. And just because a person did his commentary over it, I believe it was Truth Virus 4. Okay, that's his fourth YouTube channel because he keeps getting shut down. Just because he did his commentary down, commentary over the video, they shut him down. They had shut him down previously on that exact same video for bullying. So he's got 2 copyright strikes against him. I'm telling you what, people, 3/4 of the Truth channels that I was subscribed to are dead, are gone. And they've come back a couple times, got squashed a couple times, and now they're gone for good. One of my favorite YouTubers, Kernsey74, I haven't been able to find him on again. He makes excellent, hilarious videos that show what they call the phony fake show, which is exactly what we saw happening in Charleston, a phony fake show. They want us in the kill zone. They want us to make. They want to make us look bad. They want to give us a reason to justify the communists stomping our head in, or the police state kicking in our doors, shooting our wife, and dragging us out of the house at 4 a.m. They're trying to create moral high ground, because if they ever show their true intention, they're shit out of luck. And that's why they got to play nothing but stupid games. And that's why the best that they can do is police us, because they don't have the propaganda story going right now to start launching missiles at us. But if we let America turn into the Ukraine, okay, if we let this divide and conquer grow fruit, we're going to have missiles launched on us, and it's going to get into a full-scale war. And maybe we need that. But I tell you what, I'm not siding with the Nazis or the communists in the meantime. And with that said, you enjoy the rest of your day. I'm out of here.